Tithes and offerings, the most important Baptist subject that can be preached.
So that'd be the fellowship.
Oh, what? I said most important Baptist.
Yeah.
I did get one request before I came up here, and it's either gonna kill the service or help the service. So I'm not gonna tell who gave me this request, but someone had requested a Kiss Your Wife Day. So we're gonna find out who came in here right with God today. So Kiss Your Wife Day is now commenced. For anyone's upset to Timmy for requesting that, let me tell you what my niece said about him today. I told her I was going to say this from the pulpit. I waited until she was out here to say it. I was like, hey, are you going to congratulate Timmy and Megan? And she goes, no. And I'm like, why? And she's like, because I feel bad for Megan. Well, you and the rest of the church, Rayella.
And a child shall lead them.
Time will tell.
No, but we'll get started now. The pastor had told me I'm going to be preaching this a few months back, and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to preach on. So God really only gave me one verse in the leading months. Don't worry, I have more than that now. Before then, he gave me specifically one verse to get me started with, and I'm going to read that to you guys. You all can read it if you want to, too. So we're going to go to Matthew 22. I'm going to read a verse in such a way as most people read it the opposite. It's not like I'm going against it. They just focus on one part. I'm focusing on the other side of it. Oh, I forgot to turn that on. Thank you, Timothy. Sam had told me about that, and I completely forgot it because I didn't see Sam kiss his wife. I just want everyone to know that. So it must be they're not in good spot right now. Hey, I saw Nate jump up. I'm just saying.
I heard him.
You heard the swish?
Yes.
Matthew 22. We're going to go to verse 21. Then they say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Yeah. So we always go from the point of you pay your taxes, you pay those things the government tells you to pay, because you render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Right.
But it also says, render unto God what is God's.
What?
And what is God's? Everything. I have verses that say that, if I can find them here. Right here, I believe it's Malachi. Malachi, Timothy, is right before Matthew.
I saw that.
So Malachi 3. Malachi 3, verse 6. I believe this is the one I'm looking for. If not, it's going to be good anyway because it's the Word of God. You don't agree with that, Randy?
I'm just trying to figure out where you're leading with this.
Give to God. This is the whole message here. So Malachi 3, we're going to start at verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye saith, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet we have robbed God. Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation, bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. you're robbing God. Sorry. I got lost track there. I was thinking about another verse for a second. You rob God when you're not giving those things to him. I did read the wrong verse, but it's a nice segue into there, and I'll get to the other verse eventually. It's in my notes, and everyone knows I love to read my notes, which are just verses. No, but you rob God when you don't give those tithes and offerings. I've robbed God before. I have. Sometimes I thought there, I'm a little short on cash this week. I'll just double my tithe next week. Not great. So you know what? Next week came and I didn't have as much cash then either. Yeah, it just builds. It expands. That little, I'm going to just pay him back. I'll pay him back this next week. There's a skull and did call me out. I didn't put a tithe in the plate this week. But unlike you guys, I get paid bi-weekly. So, ha. So one week I tithe zero. But what do I offer? Because it says tithes and offerings. If God commands you to offer something, because Pastor Hayne pretty much prayed the whole message I'm going to preach. So what's the difference between a tithe and an offering? One is what God tells you to give. The other is what you go above and beyond to give. Pastor Hayne prayed that. So yeah, I get paid bi-weekly, but I can still offer things to God. Right. And that's not only just offering to the house of God. You can do that, yes. But you can offer an everyday living.
That's right.
We'll go to John 1. Someday we'll get to that verse I wanted to read you guys, but not now. Alive. 1 John. That's what I mean by John 1. Y'all should know that by now. Go to 1 John chapter 3. If I don't have dyslexia, I'm pretty close. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, from him how dwelleth the love of God in him?
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to say you have the love of God, but you see your brother in need.
Right.
We've heard men preach on it before, and I'm going to say it again. If you see someone has a need, someone has said, don't pray, God help their need. If you have the ability to help their need, help their need.
Amen. Right.
Because everything you have is God's anyway.
Right.
I preached on it this morning that one way you can show the countenance of God on your faith is by giving. Show people that you trust in God. You can give them money. Even if it hurts you, for anyone who's listening, I did air quotes. Because does it hurt you?
Nope.
I'm pretty sure most people in this church at one point in their life have been poor beyond poor. And yet are you in that state now? There may be a few. I'm not mocking those who are, but God can give and he can take away. Let's go to Luke 21. This is a good segue to Luke 21. Also, another one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I say that for most verses I read because I like most verses I read. Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her pecuniary hath cast in all the living that she had. Now, God didn't say that those rich men weren't going to be blessed, but he said the one that gave of all of her living would be more blessed because of an offering she gave. She gave above and beyond what was commanded of her. She gave everything. And I know most of us, we go, it's easy for that person to tithe and give offerings, big offerings, because look at what they make. But do you give of what you make? And most of us go, well, no, because if I did that, I wouldn't have enough. That's not true. You're not proving God at that point.
That's why he's right. Amen. Prove him.
Yeah, you can prove him. And the only way you can prove him by trusting him and obeying in those little things,
exactly.
Little things,
yeah, right.
Giving all that you have is a little thing.
Uh-oh. Oh, help.
Because it talks about laying up those things above where moth and rust does not corrupt.
Yes, sir.
And yet, down here, we need more and more and more. Because I guarantee you, if you got more money, you just spend more money.
Yeah. What else you do is you'll have it.
See, me, I used to start it off. I know there's people who probably started off lower than me getting paid, but I started off getting paid $6 an hour and slowly worked my way up through. Just different jobs, getting more and more pay. Every time I got a different job, it was more pay. But you know what? I still didn't have money. So, where did it go? Did I waste it on vain, carnal things? Which God does give you things. Johnny just bought a new house. That is a vain thing. But it's something God gave to him.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'll use myself as an example because I don't know many other people's, because most people don't talk about tithes and offerings with each other, which is good and right, because you don't let, what is it, the right hand know what the left hand doeth, or is it vice versa?
Something.
Don't let the other hand know what the other hand's doing. That's what you got to do. But at one point in my life, I was making $15,000 a year. Woo. God allowed me to buy a house on that.
Amen.
God brought me to a place that I could afford, that he could give me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I would to God that I trust God in most financial matters like I did that time.
Yeah.
And yet, someone goes, I only make $30,000 a year. How can I do it?
That's it.
God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I believe Psalm 50 will go with there. I believe this is the verse I meant earlier. If not, it's going to be another good verse. Randy, that's for you.
You could just say the Bible is your favorite book.
It is. But there's many books in the Bible. Sorry, got a little off track talking to Randy there, which is always nice. I enjoy talking to Randy. If you've never talked to Randy, talk to Randy. Go out of your way today to talk to Randy.
No.
Okay, we're going to go to Psalm 50. Psalm 50, we're going to start at verse 8. Psalm 50, verse 8. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. So right there, says that. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So he can give you those things you need. He'll supply all your need. What's that need? It's that faith and trust in him.
Amen.
That's all you need. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. So all the fowls of the mountains and all the wild beasts of the field are his. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I will eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats. Do you think God needs your money? Your tithes, your offerings? I won't even say money. Because you can offer more than just money. You could offer someone time. You see a friend in need, spiritual or physical, offer your time. If you have time to give, I have plenty of time to give. You know what I do when I get home from work? Nothing. So I have tons of time to give. But I can offer those things to the things of God. Do those things. When you hang out with someone, it doesn't have to be carnal hanging out. You can talk about spiritual things. I think we've done a lot of work on Timothy's house recently, and most of the time we're there, spiritual things are being discussed.
Man, that's good.
That's offering the time to God. Mm-hmm. Because regardless if I was there or not, the work probably would have gotten done. Maybe not as fast. There'd be a lot less damage.
That's right.
But you can offer those things. Mm-hmm. Think, oh, not going to blow your head up, Mr. Wilcox, but he offers more time than most people to this church.
Right.
As a trustee, he just comes in and works on this building. And I understand we shouldn't worship the building and everything, but God gave us this building.
That's right.
So you take care of the building.
That's right. Amen.
Until it's such a time as God takes it away from us. Mm-hmm. You treat those things God gives you with respect.
That's right. That's good.
I can say that, and I mean that, because I've been on a kick about respect. You don't respect persons, but you respect those things of God.
Amen.
And God's gave you all your financial gain.
Yep.
That's right.
God chastised me yesterday about this. Or I'd say reproof. It really wasn't a chastisement because it wasn't absolute agony. But I was sitting there going, man, next week's going to be rough getting to and from work. So somebody had offered me money. I took it, and then all of a sudden, $300 popped up in my pocket from someone giving it to me.
Amen.
And I was like, if I would have just, trusted God for about an hour longer. And yet I didn't. So if God tells you to offer those things, offer those things. God tells you to tithe.
That's right.
He does do that. Let's go to Leviticus 27. I know we're in the Old Testament, so I believe it's Leviticus 27. If not, it's 2 Chronicles. We'll figure out which one I mean to go to. I should probably put better little bullet points so I know what's in the verses better.
Yeah.
What chapter?
27. Leviticus 27. Yes, this is where I mean to be. Good. I should have never said it, and you all would have thought I was really smart. So we're going to start verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth, shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it, and if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. So what is a commandment of God for tithing? And I understand it's Old Testament, but we had read, I believe in Malachi there, that God says he never changes.
That's right.
So he commanded you there to tithe and give offerings. And too many of us go, but that's Old Testament. I don't need to do that. You don't need to trust God or obey him. Just don't expect any blessing on your life. So you're robbing God. It's going to be great when they hear the final sales pitch that the pastor told me to give. No, but let us go to Acts 4, verse 33. Acts 4, 33. Acts 4, verse 33. It got really loud there. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. These people cared for their brethren so much that they sold all their land and distributed amongst the brethren. So there was no need. I know we all harp on government aid and everything. Why is the government helping, doing all this stuff for the people? Because the churches won't anymore.
Uh-oh. That's why.
Because what is mine is mine.
Ooh. Right.
It's true.
It's true.
If you see a brother in need and you gave him those things, he might not need to go to the government for aid. Maybe he'd come to the church. Maybe he'd sit under the preaching. But let's go to what we're more prone to do. Chapter 5, starting verse 1. We're going to go verse 1 to verse 11.
Come on.
But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And a great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And a great fear came upon all the church, upon as many as heard these things. So what was their issue? Was it that they held part of it back? No. It's that they lied and said, no, we gave it all.
Right.
We gave it all. Praise us. Look how much we gave.
Oh, that's it.
And God killed them for that. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason some people die, but it was the reason in the Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know he'll punish some people.
No, I better believe it. Yes.
Why would you lie over that?
Oh.
God said, look, you have this. You didn't have to lie. You could have just kept part of it back and said, I'm giving half of everything I sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But they were like, no, look at us. We gave it all. Mm-hmm. It's like I spoke of this morning, though. Those things done in secret, they're shown by the light. So when you give offerings and tithes, give them honestly. Don't try to lie about those things. Don't just, well, I was going to give, but you know, I'm just going to save for next week. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give more next week. Mm-hmm. Or the week after that. Mm-hmm. The week after that. By that time, that need may be gone. Maybe that's what we're hoping for.
Uh-oh.
Maybe that's, someone else will meet that need before we need to.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's good. Right?
Yeah. But maybe that need won't be met, and that person will just suffer for another week.
Uh-oh, brother, come on.
Because you didn't want to give what God gave to you.
Oh, my. God.
The tithe is a commandment. God commands that of you. So you need give that because he's commanding you to do it.
Yeah.
Not doing it is disobedience.
Yeah.
But God wants you to give offerings.
Mm-hmm.
He'll bless you for offerings.
That's right.
Yes.
He will. It might not be on this earth.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's go to Luke 17. Let's see what he thinks of those things a servant has to do. This is speaking of tithes. People think, no, if I do this, God has to give it to me. He doesn't have to give it to you.
Right.
By grace, he may give it to you. So Luke 17, verse 9. Don't go to Luke 22. It is not the same chapter.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I give all the best advice up here. Luke 17, verse 9. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So God tells you to tithe, yeah. Commands it. It said that. Yeah. Commanded it. And we're like, we think, no, God has to profit me. Give me thanks, Lord.
Uh-oh.
If everything is God's, and God commands a tenth of it. How bad of a deal is that for God? God owns everything. He gives you 100% and demands 10% back. And we demand accolades. That's why when the widow with two mites got 100%, she gave 100% back. And God said she'll be greatly blessed, more than the rest of them. Because she gave everything back. Now, I'm not saying to live as a pauper, Randy. Very poor person, no money. I'm not saying go and give everything you have unless God commands you to do that.
Right.
If he commands you to do that, do that. You'll never know what he'll use in your life. I've heard many people preach on missionaries, those ones that go to the field and decide that's where they're going to work. They're going to do all that. They're going to earn their money over there. I've heard those people have a great power of God. I'm not knocking those ones who get help back here because, one, God commands us to supply needs to those who need it. So if a missionary needs it, maybe we should supply it. But we choose not to.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
I don't think if you offer money to God and God didn't command you to do it, that he's not going to bless you. He's not going to punish you, at least, for it.
Yeah.
If I were to go, I'm going to give Randy $100, and I don't know if that's God's will or not, I don't think God's going to punish me for doing that.
Right. That's good, Peter.
But we think he will. Oh, well, then I won't have enough money to buy bread. Don't eat with bread. Go keto for a week. Randy, you might need to.
Put a gun to my head before that.
Man. If anyone has bread, Randy wants it, he said. So as you're talking to him today, nice. Give him a loaf of bread.
Oh, great. I'm the breadwinner today.
Let's go to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, verse 17. Ready? This is what God says about it. Giving. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord, thy God, which he hath given thee. So you give those things that God has given you. And what has God given us? All things.
Amen.
So why do we think we own them? Why do we think they're ours? Everything in this world someday will be burnt up.
That's right. Mine. Yeah, you bet.
Mine.
Yep.
Everything.
Yeah. Destroyed when he returns. So what are you going to tell God? Well, God, I saved up that money, you know, just in case I saw a really big need one day. And then it burns up before you ever use it. So. What a waste.
Yep. Yeah.
I think I will end with this next verse, and then I'll give the spiel the pastor wanted me to give. It is a good spiel. It is a need. Let's go to, granted, I'm probably not going to be as nice as him when he would give it. Everyone, like I say all the time, people think I'm a jerk because I am. Uh-huh. So 1 Timothy, hey. Thank you. I thought people were going to run the aisles for a second. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. We're all like, but I'm not rich. But you are. Because when that rich young ruler comes to Jesus Christ and asks how to be saved, Jesus Christ tells him all those things. He said, I've done them. Then he said, well, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And he couldn't because he had a great many things. And then Jesus Christ tells the apostles, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. We're all like, oh, that's still a rich man. But what does Peter say back? Then how can any man be saved? It's any man. That is any man. That's the whole earth.
That's right.
Peter called us all rich. And it says about the rich man here, ready to distribute. Distribute what? The things God's given you. I'm not talking about preaching of the word of God, because that says that in the very next part, willing to communicate, which we won't even give that offering either. Great struggle for me at work sometimes to communicate on the things of God, but God has finally shown me a way to do that. But give those tithes, those offerings, they're commanded of God. God will bless you. Maybe. He'll bless you in heaven. But he will help you. He's not going to let you starve to death. And again, I can't say that because he might. But even that will be a blessing for you.
Amen.
Teach you to trust God more. He will. Some of the closest times you can be to God is when you have nothing.
That's right.
When do people pray the most? When they have a need. So, make yourself have a need. Give everything you have.
That's good. Help us.
So I will give the pastor's spiel now.
Okay.
As we all know, you wanted me to say this, Youth Week is coming up. And there is a need for financial support? That's a good way to say it, for Youth Week. And we're like, don't really want to support that. I want a show of hands. I know we don't normally do. Who's all seen the power of God fall on Youth Week before?
Yeah.
Most of us. You know, one of the ways, the reasons God's blessed that, is we've offered.
Right.
People have offered prayer. People have offered financially. People have offered to their hurt financially.
Yeah.
But God's blessed them. So why rob God before the time that we know he shows up? I'm not saying he can't show up in other services.
Right.
But this is a time that God has set aside for us.
Yes.
That we can
Amen.
Offer those things that God shows us to offer.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So give as you're willing to give. Give those things God showed you to give. Don't hold on to them. The pastor also wanted me to mention the church now has a Venmo. Amen. So if anyone's like me and forgets to grab money all the time, you talk to Mrs. Ford. She has the Venmo information. It's also on the corkboard out there, correct? And if you need, if you're worried about the right hand knowing what the left hand does,
what does that even mean?
Don't let it know. Do it secretly. There's a few of us in here who know how to send private Venmos, and we can show you. So the only person that would ever see it is Mrs. Ford, and I don't think she's going to go telling everybody. But that would be the same if you wrote a check. If you still write checks like me occasionally, do that. That's fun. She likes checks. She only has to drop them all off at the bank. No, but do give to Youth Week. Pray to God. Ask him what he'd have you to give, what he'd have you to offer. Because it is an offering. The pastor doesn't take the tithes from the church and give them to Youth Week. He takes the offerings we give to Youth Week and do it. He said he didn't do last month because there was, I forget the reason he said, there was a strain. But we can start offering now. I'll ask this. Mrs. Ford, do you know how much it normally costs Youth Week, roughly, how much we spend?
We have spent between $12,000 and $18,000.
$12,000, $18,000. Wouldn't it be great if we wanted the Youth Week with double that? I'm not saying it's possible. With God, anything is possible. But wouldn't that be great? To where during Youth Week, we can meet all the needs of the congregation. No man would want. God could flow freely amongst us because there wasn't a person sitting there going, I'm missing a week of work. And they're damning their soul because of it. Because we wouldn't supply that need. Well, Pastor Hain, I believe I'm done. Thank you.